O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear that this might be a time when we are raised up to follow you and change the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember last week, in that synagogue in Capernaum, there was a contest between that demon who tried in a way to gain control over Jesus by shouting out his name, "I know who you are, the Holy One of Israel." And Jesus quite abruptly told in no uncertain terms that demon to shut up and come out of him. The victory was his. Then he went not very far away to the home of Simon and Andrew. And there, out of the public sphere, you had a man with a demon. He moved into the quiet of someone's private home. And there was a woman with an illness. And he took her hand and raised her up. The same words that are used at the end of Mark to speak of Jesus' resurrection. He raised her up. But he was not done. I took the sermon title from the slogan or mantra that is repeated by the New England Patriots. I wanted to give them some equal time. It's surely a matter of accident that we're having Isaiah 40, which speaks about rising up on wings of eagles. And I chose on eagles' wings because it went with the scripture passage. It has nothing to do with the Philadelphia Eagles, as neither does my green stole, but there was a church in the Philadelphia area, a United Methodist church, that pointed out on its signboard that in Scripture there are 33 references to eagles, and patriots, nothing. So I take the Patriots slogan, "Not done." This is a picture from their victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars 2 weeks ago. That's when that slogan became known. But in fact, you know, they had another great year. They're quite a dynasty in the history of modern sports and football. They won their 7th consecutive American Football Conference East title, and they were again the number one seed overall, but they were not done. They had a playoff game to play. And so they played the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they won the AFC Divisional Championship. But they were not done. In fact, they, for this Super Bowl week, have created their own television network for streaming called the Not Done Network. And not done yet. That's their saying. We, in spite of everything we've accomplished, in spite of the fact we won the Super Bowl last year, in spite of all our wins this year, there is another game to play. We are not done yet. I went to Capernaum when I was in Israel, or Capharnaum. It actually means the town of Nahum, Kfar Nahum, the town of Nahum. Beautiful little town. You see the gate that is set around it. I doubt there was a gate in Jesus' day. There is the ruins of a synagogue there. This is a synagogue that goes to about the 4th century. It's a huge palatial one. The one that Jesus went in and had that contest with the demon that day is underneath this one. This one was built over top of it, and they have excavated this 4th century synagogue to find a 1st century one below it. And the synagogue is not very far away from the house of Peter and Andrew. That's a look from the synagogue toward, you can see that building there on the right side. And over there on the left, you can see the Sea of Galilee in the background. That's where Capernaum is, right on the Sea of Galilee. And that's a building on the right is over top of the house of Peter. They built that there. It's been built by the Franciscans. It's kind of both a memorial place, and it's built to protect the ruins underneath it, and it is a place of worship where my group went in and we held a little service there. But you can see between Peter's house and the synagogue, there are a few other houses in the way. Those are the ruins of ancient Capernaum. If you get closer, you can see that little round structure is actually a house church built in the latter part of the first century. They're pretty certain that this was the site of Peter and Andrew's house, because very early it became a place of worship for Christians. There is graffiti going back to the latter part of that first century, and it was known locally as the house of Simon and Andrew. And so they built that wall around it is actually this first century house church. And then you can see a larger angular wall that was an octagonal church built a few centuries later by the Orthodox Christians. They always build on top of these things. You know, we want to preserve ancient sites. They find an ancient site, they build on top of it to honor the place. And that was an octagonal church that was there from about the early 4th century to the 7th century as a place of Christian worship. But if you go into that building that I showed you earlier, it has a glass floor. And you can look down through that round circle and see the floor of Peter and Simon's house. Peter and Andrew's house, Simon Peter. And you know you're looking at the place where Jesus went in that day and took the hand of Peter's mother-in-law and healed her. Now, part of the beauty of it for me was the simplicity of the place. We read about it in the Bible, so we think of it and surround it with all kind of resonance, but they're simple basalt stone buildings. People lived very simply, and it was a simple dirt floor. And there, the Lord of the universe walked in and quietly, privately, in the quiet of someone's home, healed a woman with an illness. I couldn't help but see this. This was right outside that Roman Catholic structure, a mother cat. It was a hot day. She was lying on the hot stones, and her kittens were just feeding. And I thought, well, that probably they were doing that in Jesus' day. This is real life. It's real history. We have an incarnate Lord who came among us and lived among us to do concrete things. And you know the story. After spending the evening in that simple house, Jesus got up very early in the morning. Again, the same words that are used at the end of this book of Mark to talk about that first Sunday, very early in the morning when the women went to the tomb. But that early morning, Jesus got up by himself and went to a deserted place to pray. Now, it had great success that previous day. People from all over had brought many people to be healed and to have demons cast out. It was really quite a name he had made himself, beginning with that first victory in the synagogue and then that quiet victory inside the home of Andrew and Peter. And then many coming to the doorway of that home who were healed. And that early morning when he got up and snuck away, the others got up later and looked around for him because it was their day. They had made a big splash in their hometown. They wanted Jesus to stay and celebrate his newfound fame, the victory, the fame that had gone out and established him. And they found him in that place where he said, "I'm not done yet. Let us be going on to the other towns of Galilee. For I didn't come for celebrity. I didn't even come to heal everyone. I came because I have a job to do. Will you follow me? I'm not done yet." This is Kelly McKenna and her daughter, obviously at a New England game. She is a New England Patriots fan. In September of this year, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she said, as any woman or any family has gone through that diagnosis knows, she was absolutely devastated and frightened. She wanted to run away and hide. She first had to stomach the notion that she had cancer, and then she had to go and find out how bad it was. And every step of the way, she said, "I can't do this." And she got her treatment regimen, the chemotherapy she would have to do, and she says, "Look, I have a job, I have children, I can't do this." Well, she put one foot in front of the other, as so many women with this illness do, so many people with any other kind of illness they face do. With that courage that you take that step into the unknown, hoping and trusting and willing. And while she was undergoing the chemotherapy, she decided to fulfill a lifelong dream. She always wanted a New England Patriots tattoo. And so she said, "Breast cancer," she tweeted this out, "breast cancer took my hair, but never my passion for the Pats. Go Pats. TB12 is Tom Brady. It's his number 12. Crucial catch." Oh, it didn't put the picture. There's a wonderful picture of her bald head with "Go Pats Go" tattooed on the back of it. I don't know if it showed up on your slide, Jeff. But the New England Patriots saw it. In fact, a large audience saw it on Twitter. And they were inspired by it. And they invited her to the AFC Championship game as their guest. And that was the first picture I showed you. And she, in turn, was inspired by their slogan, "Not done yet." So that then became, "Getting chemo in my new Pats and Tampa Bay 12 gear like the Pats, I am in a battle, and I am not done yet. Thank you, Patriots and Exeter Hospital." I don't know what you're facing. I have a problem with the Super Bowl. I'm actually a New England Patriots fan. I have been before they got on this roll. I was a fan back when they lost most of their games. But I kind of like some of their players. And I don't like the hype of the Super Bowl. I don't like the conspicuous consumption of the Super Bowl. It rather frightens me how out of perspective we get this whole thing. $5 million for a 30-second commercial. There is a lot of abuse that happens on Super Bowl Sunday because people whose team loses take it out in their weakness, on the people in their lives. It's totally out of proportion, and I think in more power to Kelly McKenna, but sad, I think, that a football team inspires her in her fight for cancer, although I will not take anything away from her. Any way that you can be inspired in whatever illness and challenge you're facing, you are free to take it. But let me remind you of one who is not done with you yet. Let me call upon all of us to be inspired by a love that is the truth of our lives. But if you're facing cancer or a transplant or surgery of another kind, if you're facing a challenge in your relationships or a challenge in your workplace, if you're facing a challenge with mental illness, you are not done. And the love of God is not done with you. For Jesus was not done when he drove the demon out of the man in the synagogue. He was not done when he cured Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He was not done later in Mark when he touched a leper. He was not done later in Mark when he healed a woman who was bound for 18 years with an illness. He was not even done when on the cross he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." He only finished one part of his journey. He was not done when on that first Easter Sunday he left the tomb and set out on his journey back to Galilee and then into our futures. He is not done with us yet. And if you are excited about what victories he has won so far, if you are amazed at the hospitals that have been built in his name and the lepers who have been cared for and the poor who have been fed and all the miracles, even the miracle of us being here this day to love and care for one another, if you want to stay and celebrate that for a while, well, you can take a moment and eat a chicken wing if you are so disposed. But it is not done. There are families who are grieving in Toronto because of a serial killer. There are people in this church dealing with illness and surgeries to come. Love is not done with us. Let us be on our way. Because that is what we came here to do. Let us pray. O gracious God, bless us and sustain us as we follow you, as you continue to unfold the gift of life and love in our midst, in all the simple places and in all the glorious places, but in all the eternal places where you change the world. In Jesus' name, amen.